You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
This is David. Welcome back behind the velvet rope. I mean, really, you know what to expect on Thursdays. And like, I think if this wasn't happening this Thursday, I would be, the comments would be so nasty, which I could take, but this is what you guys want. We're back, Miss Catherine Edwards.
Hello, hello.
Now we have to start with our cheers. We just poured ourselves. Look at this big martini, just vodka. Catherine's like, this is just straight vodka, David. And I'm like, honey, this is just straight vodka too. So cheers.
Cheers.
Honestly, in a highball or I'm drinking in a martini glass.
With three big olives.
I could even hear the clunky. I have no garnish. I just have Grey Goose pear. You could smell the pear. There's no lime twist.
Yum.
It's just like, it's like that first sip is always so good, right?
And I think it's good for you right now.
Listen.
No glass.
If you're going to drink, vodka is the way to go, I think.
Yeah.
It's clean.
Yeah, I'm really loving gin now with the Fever Tree Tonic.
Ugh. Everyone's loving gin. I have to like, I mean, I don't mind gin, and I think I need to rediscover just how much I love gin. Honestly.
I'll have to make you one. I do a botanist gin. This is my recipe. Botanist gin with Fever Tree Elderflower Tonic, and then I muddle fresh mint and lime. So I muddle ice. Botanist gin, and then the Fever Tree Elderflower Tonic.
First of all, that's way more complicated than I could ever make a drink, but I love elderflower. I love the taste of like rose, lavender, elderflower. I love it all. It's really good.
Yeah, it's medicinal. All right, let's just like tackle this because I just literally turned that. I mean, I just want to say crap off.
I don't even know what to say. I mean, okay, so this is why we're drinking. Well,
let's do the nice stuff at the end. Let's get the feel goods. Let's talk Kathy Hilton, all of the things that made us feel good and we laughed about at the end. Because I'd rather end on that note.
Okay, so we'll skip over Kathy. We'll skip over. I have lots of things to say about like Crystal and Garcelle.
Yeah, I want to talk about all that.
Let's just go straight to Erica.
Yeah, because it's fresh in my head right now.
Where do you want it again? I have stuff to say, but you start. You tell me where you'd like to start with this.
The thing when I was watching it, I felt like she deflected and a lot of the questions she really didn't answer. She would cut Andy off, or if anyone was saying something, she'd talk over him. And I think that that's obviously a defensive move. You know what I mean? But when she said that they could all come to her, she's the source, and they all should have come to her if they had questions, and she's never withheld anything from the women. What planet has she been on since she's been on the show? Because she has withheld everything. She withheld the divorce from them when they were up at were they in Lake Tahoe, or I don't remember, they were somewhere.
Yeah.
And then they all got home and were like, holy hell, we were just with her 48 hours ago. That's withholding. She withheld the car accidents, the injuries, and him being knocked out for 9 hours, 12 hours. I mean, she withholds everything. So who is she kidding? She says these things and she forgets what everyone has seen. And it really goes back to the whole narcissistic behavior. I am 100% convinced, and I've met this great guy, Nate, through his Instagram.
You sent me some of his stuff.
The guy is freaking genius. He is so smart. He's a talented artist. And everything that he sent, she is spot on. She is textbook narcissist. And there's more to it. And I would love to share that sometime, but go on, you talk.
No, it's like, yeah, like, listen, everyone's like, blah, blah. Sometimes people DM and say, like, you know, the two of you and here's the other side. Listen, she makes it so hard. Like, we're not out to get her. We are objective. We start the hour objectively.
I'm not really anymore. I would love to say that I am, but I will say this. I'm not objective in the sense that I feel like she lost me a long time ago. And every time I want to look for something, as I said before, a redeeming quality, I want to look for something to understand her and have a little bit of sympathy for her. She kills it. She kills it. She's almost freaking delusional. The way she calls it, like, she just doesn't see anything.
It's like, it's, did we just watch a different show? I mean, she says, like, so she's not disappointed. She basically said, fuck off to the fans. She said she's not, you know, could care less what we think, but she's shocked at the people that are on the couch. Yeah, that she would tell them anything.
When one of them asked her, I think it was Garcelle, asked her about the victims and how come, and she said, you know, that she does feel bad. Really? When was anyone going to pick up on that? When did we witness that emotion? When did she, you know, post anything to the victims? They're seeing all of this. They're seeing all of this. If she's looking like she has any sympathy or feels bad for them, why are they all saying the same thing we are? Clearly the message isn't getting to them.
And that's when I think Crystal on the couch was like, but you're not saying it. Like when she was saying, I feel bad. Crystal, you know, it was almost like, well, who do you feel bad for? That was the whole victim. And Crystal was like, but you haven't said those words yet. And then that's when she now is starting to say, you know, well, like basically she was saying, implying that I can't say that. Like she's basically implying that her lawyers are telling her, I mean, that's how I took it. That if I say I feel bad for the victims, which because you don't, that's admitting guilt. That's what I thought she was implying.
She doesn't have that in her. She doesn't feel bad for him. And if she said she felt bad for him and really tried to say that she did, I really doubt that it would come across as sincere. When she said it today, it's angry. I didn't feel one bit of sensitivity in that.
Right. Like she doesn't, it's like you understand that there's victims, but like I don't think it, she doesn't seem like she truly understands these people have no money. They've lost people. There's like she doesn't understand really what the word, like what these victims have gone through. You just don't feel it. It's like, it's almost like, why are we having this conversation trying to pretend to be somewhat neutral? Because she just doesn't give a fuck, right?
No, she doesn't. And why, if she really feels that, does it only come out when someone asks her to say it? She never offers that up on her own. She only responds after someone kind of holds her to it. And every time someone says something, it's always coupled with, are you kidding me? You think I don't feel bad? Look at my life. It's not about you. Believe it or not, it's not about you.
That's where she lost me again, where she was like, look at this and look at that. And it's like, ugh, you're missing the point again.
It's not her anger. It's not her life. It's none of it. It's none of it is about her. And she cannot see that.
Andy's trying. He's actually, for everyone who says that he favors Erica, and I've said it before, like he's really trying. I mean, he's saying like, listen, something you're doing is not resonating with the audience and people.
Right.
People aren't feeling it. And he tries to, my favorite line of the whole night is when she's like, well, what do you mean? And he's like, well, it's two things. You seem like you lack empathy. Okay, true. Mm-hmm. And it's the consumption. And that's where she's like, this is a direct quote. Yeah. Where is the consumption? Direct quote.
Yeah. Yeah. But that just goes to show you she's not dealing with reality. She doesn't see it. She really, truly doesn't see it. I think she is drinking her own Erica Jane Kool-Aid. When he asked her, I can't remember what they asked, something about the money or something about the money. And she said, I do not work at Girardi Keys and all the financials kept there or whatever. And she doesn't know. And then he didn't answer. She didn't answer the question. It was a yes or no question. And then he said, so you're saying no. And she goes, there's your answer. There's your answer. She didn't say, yes, that's my answer. She didn't even answer the question.
She didn't answer the question. And then that's like, right. So, I mean, do you think what you got on a private plane that was not yours? It was your friend. So that's not consumption, because everyone listening to this podcast right now, 99% of them have private planes like that. She's out of touch, man.
She's tone deaf. Garcelle said you're tone deaf 100%. But it's
so again, Andy, he's
narcissistic
trying.
Behavior. He's trying, but you know, before they were rolling and he said, how are you doing? How are you holding up? And she said, I would like it if you could go easy on me. And then he said, you know, I'm gonna put you on a skewer or whatever it was. You know, I think that's the truth. They are kind of friends. I think he's given her every opportunity. He wants her to just see it. But I think that there's probably a part of him that's like, I help me help you. I'm trying to make you look good. And you just cannot pick up the life preserver I'm throwing you. I can't hear you. Negative ghost.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
No, I mean, people have accused Andy of this, and I do think it's true. Like, I'm not coming for him. Like, he has his favorites, period. Mm-hmm. The end.
Yeah.
Like,
it's obvious.
He loves, you know, some of the New York girls. He loves Luann, Ramona, Sonia. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean you're not going to lose your job, but he loves Erica Jane. She's on that list of people he loves.
Mm-hmm.
So right, so he's coming for her, but I think that you're right, he's hoping
to help her out. He wants it to be a soft landing. I don't think he likes that, you know, 80 or 90% of the viewers can't stand her.
I mean, the thing is, like, it's like we talked about last week, like, forget about the world, like, so this ends eventually. And then you stay on the show like Teresa did, like they're probably not going to get rid of her. Like, who is going to come? You know how like we all waver season to season. I told you I used to love Rinna. Now I'm like, oh God, like that's how Housewives is. But who is going to come back from this with Erica as a viewer? Like there are some small percentage that are like, okay, but 98% of the people, you're right, hate her. Like, they're not going to change. They're not going to just say in three seasons, like, oh, she's growing on me again. I don't think so. Right.
No. Unless she's so angry. She really, I mean, I was like, I think I'm going to start calling her Maud. Like she just sits there like this kind of, you know, just beat down, angry at the world, bitter woman. And again, when they were talking about what the women had, she just looks so pissed that that's not her life anymore. And maybe I'm looking, you know, reading into that and that's not true, but that's what I saw on her face. And she comes across as so angry now. It's so funny. I listened to our podcast last time. I think I said, I don't know, a million times, because I am searching for understanding. I want to understand where she comes from and how she comes to the conclusions and makes these decisions to do what she does. I can't. It's narcissistic behavior that you do not understand because you don't think that way.
And right. And the thing is, like, I get what she was saying, like, which is what we talked about last week, what she said tonight, like, how do you think I feel? Like, my husband did this. Like, I get that. I get it. But now you're toned down. Like, don't say it, because now it's like, I get it, but it's bigger than you. Like, it's bigger than you.
Didn't she also say that, like, she, you know, like, her marriage was great. Like, she had a great marriage, and how this was just all a surprise to her. Wait a minute. Didn't you also just say that your husband had been cheating on you for how long, and she knew this, and he, you know, was mean to her, and she had to, you know, he talked down to her. So wait a minute. He did all those things, but you still loved him, and you stayed, you know, it was like one episode, where am I going? You know, I have nothing. But then she's like, I love my husband. Wait a minute.
This is the problem. So, you know, I don't know if you saw that. Well, you know, when she said she handed over her paycheck last week, I don't know if you saw the latest thing they found on Watch What Happens, where they said, well, first of all, it's like, honey, this is what billions and millions of dollars in a lawsuit do. Like, this is real. So look, I mean, I get it. Like, imagine if, like, people pulled every word that ever came out of your mouth. I'm sure I say contradictory things every other week, but I'm not being sued. Like, so yeah, like, which is it? Like, did you hand over your paycheck? Cause, you know, on Watch What Happens a year and a half ago, you were saying that you paid your own bills and had your, so which is it? So I just think that, like, she just doesn't, like, do you realize, like, the severity of this? Like, I doubt that your lawyers are sitting there and telling you, just enjoy life. Like, it's going to be okay. Don't you worry about it. They have to prove A through Z. No.
No,
but
no,
that's
no.
How she acts.
Again, I think it's the survival mode. What is she supposed to say? Like, she's just staying on the Titanic until the last piece goes down. You know what I mean? She's just hanging on, I think. I mean, I don't see how they're not going to claw back what they can from her. If that money, the 20, 25 million, whatever it is, went into her account. Yeah. They're coming for it. And there was supposedly a ruling, I don't know when it was, and maybe it was even before our last time or last week that we talked, the judge said that they could go after her for the money from Girardi Keys. They can go after her. So, you know, I'm sure she's going to file BK and that'll be it. And I don't know how it goes with, like, garnishment. I don't even know. Can they garnish? I have no idea how that works.
I had a lawyer on, like, a few times. I mean, I can tell you, this is where the victims get screwed. I mean, it goes to, like, the IRS, like, it goes to the IRS first and, like, everyone. And, like, that one victim, like, Rudy or whatever his name was, like the thing is, like, the average victim that didn't know this was coming is attached to the bankruptcy. I remember something from law school days is attached like too late. It's like all the professional
people. They're not
getting
anything.
Right. No. It's all the people that Tom screwed over business-wise were like, oh shit, I'm attaching myself to this first.
100%.
Because they're smart. But the average person who's burned in the middle of, they don't know what to do. So it's
American
like
Express
they're at the bottom.
Paid before them. American Express will get paid before them. All of his bills will get paid before them.
That's what people, so I don't sad. Know if they realize that, but that's where it is. It's like the average, like, Susie homemaker, by the time they heard about this and got a lawyer there, you are at the bottom of the chain just from the sheer time that you got in on it, which is so sad.
That to me is something that should be changed. I just don't think that's even remotely fair that all of these attorneys and all of these corporations should get their money before the victims do. It's just wrong.
I mean, it's so wrong. And so that's where it's like, even if you think that, like, how could you be saying, like, my husband did this and look at me? And do you know what I mean? Like, I would be so afraid. Like, even if those were the true thoughts in my head, that's where you're probably right, that she's a narcissist. Like, it doesn't even register. Like, don't say this. Even if I'm not saying what, if you mean it, it's okay, but I'm just saying someone would just say, I shouldn't say this. This is inappropriate in this situation on national TV to say, look at me. Because that's what we just argued with you about. And now you're saying, look at my life. It sucks. Well, like, nobody cares.
No, nobody cares if your life sucks. We want to see your life sucking right now because their life sucks. All those victims' lives suck. And we should care that you're sitting there in front of some, you know, pink satin dress with diamonds on and looking like, no, she's wearing a cross, which I thought was just.
Boy. That's a whole nother, but like.
There's the cross, but then she's got on her Instagram eating, you know, acting like a buffoon's and eating my whatever, but she's wearing the cross. I'm like, oh my gosh, the dichotomy that she is.
I mean, the thing is, like, you signed all this stuff. Like, how could you not know there was money going into your account?
Come on. It's you know what I mean? A 10-year-old would be able to figure that out.
I told you. Did I tell you this? I can't remember where I say things anymore because I say, if my husband put $25 million, I think mm-hmm. it's husband, I would mm-hmm. be like, get this out of my personal account immediately.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to take $1 million. Okay. So like, but get the rest of it out. Like where, why get it out. I don't want it in my bank account. I'm hand to God. That's what I would do. I'm so freaked out right now. Why is this in my account? Get it out. This doesn't seem right. And I don't understand. Like you didn't realize what Tom just said. Shh, just go about your life. Just let me put this money in your name and your account. And she said, oh, let me not touch it. I don't know what that is. I'm sorry. Come on.
It just goes back to the same thing that I said a long time ago, that's the stripper mentality where as the money's being thrown on the stage or on the whatever, you know, this is some woman's grocery money. She's got four kids at home and, you know, the husband's there throwing the money away. She doesn't care that it's someone else's money or someone needs that. I know that sounds cold, but I do believe that. Yeah. I don't understand. I will say that watching the episode tonight, those women sit there like a deer in the headlight. And to me, it was more apparent than ever tonight. They are so afraid to say anything. And maybe it's the way she like looks at them and, you know, stares them down and gives these kind of threatening, she's taking names and she knows this. And then, but she'll say, you know, she's taking names and, you know, and Andy's like, who's on your side and whatever. And she goes, oh, I'm whatever. With a low voice, I'm taking notes, you know? And then she wants to say like, these are my good friends and they could have come to me because we're such great friends, but she's taking notes. I mean, do you think any of those women consider themselves? I even wonder if Rena considers herself a good friend. Do you think any of those women seeing that personality would consider her a good friend?
Well, first of all, what you say about, but what you say about, I literally sat there. It's so funny you say that about, I literally sat there and took a big note to myself. I'm like, Dorit and Kyle are literally shaking in their boots, scared right now on this stage. They were like, this was like Survivor and Dorit and Kyle were like fighting for their lives. I'm like, cause she said, I'm taking names and all this, right? That's the thing. It's like, you are making us despise you. Like you literally, like it's a question. You could answer this in so many ways. And your answer is possibly the one way that now everyone watching this now despises you as a human being. How is this an answer to a question that is not a normal answer? I'm right. Like I'm taking names.
But then
Andy asks and she's like, I will keep that to myself. Thank you. Yeah. I love that's like
a psychological, like mind, like a mind fuck. Like she just wants to scare them. And what is she going to do? And they have like this thing where she, in their mind, where she had this money and she was married to this powerful attorney and everyone was like, she knows people. She could, you know, take us down, whatever. I mean, I don't understand why they're so afraid of her.
No, I don't. I'm telling you, I thought the same thing when Kyle is like, let me just say, because when she said, I'm taking names, and Kyle's like, well, but before she even finishes, Kyle's like, I have something to say. I'm like, oh, Kyle, like, why do you care? Why? Like, the public is on your side. I mean, at this point, when they're filming the reunion, you know that. Why does Kyle care? And then Dorit has to speak up. You don't see Sutton, you got that desperation from no one except Doree and Kyle, period.
Yeah, Sutton's, when they would cut away to Sutton's face and her face was kind of like, she cracks me up.
I like her too. Garcelle is like, listen, she was very calm. She's like, why is it so inappropriate that we would be concerned? Like,
I love Garcelle's calmness about it. Garcelle is, she's not afraid. Garcelle is not having it. In a couple of times, I saw Garcelle look at her with, just this blank, flat stare. Like, in my head, I was thinking Garcelle was saying to herself, like, are you flipping kidding me?
Yeah.
She's like a bad, I was trying to think of like the character. She's like Mae West, like a modern day Mae West, where she like kind of talks, you know, and she does a hand and the voice goes down in here and she's like giving the idol threats and all, you know, and she turns her head and it's all kind of like, I thought, who does she think is drinking this Kool-Aid? But they are afraid of her. They're afraid of her.
Well, that's where it's like there are housewives that are no longer there. And you're like, well, this one's gone because they were rude to Andy. Like, it's more complicated than that. But like the way she turns and speaks to Andy is no better. She's like, I'll get back to you when I'm ready with the list or whatever.
But I think he likes that about her. I think that was kind of like her little sassy thing that he probably liked before, the way she's kind of like had this like F you attitude. But now it's lost its... upscale sassiness it was, it's gone. She's like a freaking modern day cheap Mae West to me now. That's what I thought. I wasn't seeing LA Confidential. I was seeing Mae West, but not in a good way. She's drinking an old fashioned and getting sauced up. And
this podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp Online Therapy. Check out BetterHelp.com/VelvetRope. You may not be feeling down and out and depressed or like you're at a total loss, but if your stress level is high, your temper is shorter than usual, or even if you're starting to feel strain in any of your relationships, you could probably use the chance to unload. Talk to someone who's completely unbiased and who's not going to judge you or take sides. If there's stuff you can't tell your friends or family, this is the place to do it. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist. So you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can start communicating with your therapist in under 48 hours. Unload the stressors and get some unbiased feedback. You'd be pretty surprised at what you might gain for it. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and Behind the Velvet Rope listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/velvetrope. That's BETTERHELP.com/velvetrope. BetterHelp.com/velvetrope. Well, here's the other thing about Bravo. And I'm not coming for them. I'm just telling, you know how it works. Like when they're done, like the doors, you're like, your bags are thrown out, like, and the doors slam. So I just think like eventually if nobody is going to film with you, like nobody likes you, it's you on an island. It's happened in other franchises and the public is so against you. And then the story is just old. Like eventually, now nobody listening right now is bored because they'd like us to talk for the next 4 hours or 17 years. But eventually, things change by the end of a whole season. So by the end of next season, maybe not. Maybe we'll have what, but eventually when this story is over and people are done, they're like, I am so sick of it. And nobody wants to be around her. Bravo is going to kick her out on her ass. It might be 3 seasons, whatever it is. And that she'll be persona non grata. Like there'll be no coming back.
Sure.
It's not even like you did something bad. We're so morally shocked and there's victims. It's going to be like, the people hate you. Your castmates hate you. Your story's run its course. Get out. It's literally going to be a business decision. Really? I'm sorry.
It's funny because I was thinking in my head, is there anything she could do to kind of plan for the future? Because, you know, I don't know, 3-4 years, it's done, right? At most. So what could she sell? Like, what could she come up with? She's not going to do the lip glosses because that's kind of Rena's thing. What could she do to like make some money and plan for a rainy day? Who wants anything that is sold by her right now? So she really couldn't come out with something for at least a good year. I mean, I don't know. So what is she? There's no career. There's no musical career. The biggest thing that could happen is that she comes up with a guy that
has
gives
money.
Her a story, brings his own bit of a entertainment shit show, and they can turn that into something. She's not having kids. She's not going to get a regular job. She doesn't have a career. I'm not saying it to like knock her down. Like, I'm not saying this now, like to be, I'm just stating a
this
fact.
This is just how business works.
This is just what it is. This like, is I'm just not, what it is. No QVC or HSN is going to touch her with the 10-foot pole. So if she came up with a brand new, you know, Erica Jane weave, no.
No, it would have to be like a true, like, which is not going to happen, like a true product, like where you go on Shark Tank, like some real revolutionary products where you're like, this product is brilliant.
Right.
That's not what like, you know, that's not going to happen. But like, there's no branding Erica Jane. It needs to be like, no one even knows you're part of this. The product is so brilliant that it solves a purpose. Like, you know, but that's not going to happen. No. I don't know. And, you know, the thing is like, there's no book, there's no tell all. It's like your word, which no one believes. So do you know what I'm saying? Like when it's over, what is the tell all? Which I said before, what is the tell all? Like Teresa Giudice went to prison. She wrote about being in prison. That is interesting when you're on reality TV. Like, what's Erica's story? Like, tell all, well, I didn't know anything, period. It's going to be one sentence. I mean, she's not going to say you know what I mean? Like, there's no big reveal for her even.
No.
So, I mean,
I don't see the way out right now. I mean, it's a little bit of a quagmire. Right now, I don't see any light at the end of the tunnel other than riding out this thing. The divorce, the Girardi lawsuits. She's got to milk this for everything. And I don't even see how, when she said that she's going on Instagram and posting these things because she's getting paid. Come on, you're not getting paid for those things. I don't see anything on there. I mean, I don't follow her, but I'm assuming, and I can look it up, that she's not getting paid for saying, you know, eat my whatever.
And I think she had one, or like, I think Fenty, like Rihanna's spot. Like, I think people dropped her too, which is makes sense. Like Fenty dropped her, which is Rihanna's.
Right.
So yeah, I don't know. It's like, that's where it's like, there's no big picture. Like I get hanging on to your job, you know, but why aren't you now? Like, I don't know. Why aren't you marketing yourself for the future? And just,
what could you do though? But that's what I'm trying to say. What would you market under? What genre, venue, what is she selling, or what could she come up with?
Well, like, and this is also her argument where she's saying,
you could give her something. I mean, you're probably more creative than I am.
Well, I mean, I think anything would be tied to like her brand, which is now tarnished, right? I mean, see, here's the thing, like the argument of like, she's implying like, I'm saying what I can say. And really to me that implied like my lawyers they don't want me to say I have compassion for the victim. So even if that's true, right, it's like ridiculous. It's like, you still could act a different way of like a shunned, humble woman. Like it doesn't change anything. I'm just saying she could have started this entire thing from a different point. And that's where it's like, when she says, I'm not hiring crisis management, it won't do any good. It would have, if you did it on the second week.
I think so.
You would have been a different person in the public's eye at this point. It wouldn't minimize the victims or anything else. It's just lots of people would still hate you. but not everybody. It would start rebuilding your next chapter in life. So that is where it's the narcissism and the arrogance that you truly think that you are above all of the public telling you that you're, that they're disgusted with you. I mean, does she think Bravo is that behind her forever? Because they're not.
No.
They've let lots of
no. When that go. when she stops being a favorite and she stops bringing a story, come on. And the next girl comes along that has something. There's another Erica Jane out there without husband that pilfered millions and millions of dollars off of victims.
Right. And like, of course it's not over now. I get it. I mean, we're like filming, let it roll because we are in the heart of it. I'm just saying everybody listening, the public will tire of this particular, there will be an end to this case. Remember OJ? Well, yes, you do. Sorry. That's a bad example. Sorry. Sorry. I didn't need to set you off with that. By the way, just side venture. Are you watching American Crime, the Monica Lewinsky?
No, but I want to. I totally want to watch.
It's just OJ that it is unbelievable.
Oh, I'm gonna download that tonight because we have to get on a plane this weekend. And
Sarah Paulson is Linda Tripp, and it's like you don't even know it's Sarah Paulson until she speaks. You're like,
she becomes Linda Tripp.
Oh my God. Seriously?
That's a whole nother thing. What were the chances that Monica Lewinsky would save the dress and that Linda Tripp would talk about it? And I mean, wow.
I also watched the Versace installment. I think they're all great. It's just, I'm Ryan Murphy.
Okay. I got to watch that. I've been falling asleep. I can't even catch up with Survivor right now. My husband's like, have you watched it? Yeah, no.
I just had Parvati from Survivor. Remember
her? Oh, you did? Oh, she's awesome.
I've never, like a few weeks ago, I was like, I've never had a Survivor on. And I literally was like, I don't want anybody unless it's like her. I really just wanted her or Boston Rob, like maybe one or two others. And she just was like, got, and I was like, you're like basically the only one I want. So she was,
I would have taken the guy, the redheaded,
Johnny Fairplay.
No. The redheaded guy, the attorney from New York with the glasses, the kind of nerdy guy. I think he won.
I know who you're talking about.
Oh, he's funny.
It was like Cerie. There was like a bunch I wanted, but really it was like Boston Rob or Poverty. And she just got back.
Okay.
And like, you're like,
I'll have to go back and look at it.
It's a good one.
Okay.
But no, I mean, I get it. But literally American Crime is
okay.
I can't even, it's phenomenal. Okay. I think they were all, Versace wasn't as good as the first one, but this one is so good. But right. So what was my point about, I don't even know what my point was. I said, OJ, we all got like sidetracked. Oh, yeah. But no, I mean, it's not gonna, she just, like, we're actually trying to help her. We're trying to be like, everybody gets fired from Housewives. You're gonna be fired, sweetie. Everybody gets fired.
Well, and even if you're not fired, the show could be like Miami. Eventually, it's like, listen, it's done. You know, the curtain's closed. Thank you very much, but it's over.
There's no game plan for the future, really. And everyone else on the couch is pretty much okay for the future. Doreen, I don't know about, you know, I don't know about her and PK.
I don't either.
But I think, you know, Crystal has Rob. That's a real Kathy Hilton, Sutton, Mauricio's working. So just,
Brandon's, you know, like, good. I'm just ourselves good. No, they're all good. They're all good. I think so.
I just don't know about Dorit. So, but yeah, I thought that
don't shade Dorit.
I mean, listen, I just thought that her and Kyle were fighting for their lives. And listen, I get what Erica's saying. Like, I get it. Like, if I watched that scene and you were talking about me, I wouldn't be so thrilled either. So, like, I get it.
But it was so funny. I mean, I get it too. But when he was saying, like, they were going to operate him, they're like, it's not like he's a football player. He's like, you know, he's this 80-year, 79-year-old lawyer. Wait, don't operate on his head. The ankle. I was laughing so hard.
Well, I mean, PK has like this.
That was funny.
One of the smartest, like when he's like, what is the percent chances that there's two car flips?
Come on. But that's what, again, thank you. Come on. It's just. And just because people like you or liked past tense, liked you, doesn't mean they're going to believe everything you say. And just because these are your castmates doesn't mean that if you say something, they're going to take you at your word. How about that?
So that's her argument, that she thinks that everybody should have come to her, and that's what she's upset about. Like,
and that she doesn't lie, and that's what it is. We know better.
We know better. I mean, look, this whole thing is becoming a thing where she said this on Watch What Happens, and now she said, it's like, which is it?
It's crazy.
That's what her lawyers are probably like, well, we told you this would happen. Like, every word you're now saying. And remember when she turned to Andy and she's like, and I might have already incriminated myself. Like, she just was like, I'm like, well, no one.
You did that. You did that 4 seasons ago or whatever, how many seasons ago. You already shot yourself in the foot. Come on.
It's just,
but she has to stay with it. And you and I talked about this last week. This is her career. There isn't anything else. She has to stay with it. She's in survivor mode. And that part of it for me, I do have a little bit of a, you know, I feel for her in that regard. You know, she's 50 years old. She's a woman. And it's like, if she doesn't find some guy that wants to take care of her when the show's over, what is there? I mean, it's not like she's going to go be a waitress again. You know, I mean, if she could, I shouldn't say that. That doesn't sound right. She could, but it's not like she wants to. Where is she going to? She could sell her possessions, her jewelry and whatever she has. She could probably sell her things for good money and, you know, put some of it away, just cut back on her spending.
I don't know if anyone would hire her.
Not right now. No, she's not. Don't even talk about it. That's just silly to even say something like that.
Okay. The only thing I think is perfect, because you asked me to find something for her. I think she could do real estate, but I mean, have to work.
I wouldn't trust her as a real estate. Now that I know her, I would
not. That's where it's going to be it's going to be a minute. No.
And what is she going to sell? Like, really wealthy $1 million homes to wealthy people. And she's going to sell multi-$1 million homes, right? Because there's no big commissions. I would Google her if I didn't know her, look her up and say, oh, hell no. I don't want that one. And there's too many real estate agents out there. I could have some of the other housewives selling real estate.
Ramona, I know, listen. Yes, she does. Or you can go to Selling Sunset and take care of the, you know, I'm hearing they're all fake agents. Listen, I never said that it was going to be easy, but I could at least see her selling real estate. But that's where it's like, if you hired crisis management and you like took your break, you have to take a break. That's the key. You have to.
You're right.
Like, look at Mel Gibson. Remember all that drama? Everyone's
do like, I ever. The best line was when the Malibu female cop pulled him over and he called her sugar tits. Come on.
Jodie Foster stood by him.
Sugar tits.
He's working. Like, you just need to
there's a lot of people that still don't like Mel Gibson. That followed him. There's an asterisk next to his name.
There is. Yeah. I mean, also the difference is that he can produce movies and say, I'm putting up my own money and making this movie. And does anyone want to star in my movie? And there's going to be a line from here to California and New York back of young actresses that would like to star in the Mel Gibson movie for $1.
She could go and like to Vegas and probably do something in Vegas and do like autograph signings for a little bit. She'd get something. She could do. I mean, I feel like this is like very patronizing and I don't want to do that because this is real.
No, I like thought about the meet and greets and all of that.
Yeah.
People are so sour on her. I don't even know if that would go like you planned.
Well, it wouldn't last for long. It could start. It'd be good for maybe a couple months, but then it'd be over.
Well, speaking of finding a man, I mean, the rumor, you saw that thing I sent you that she's apparently dating, which I have to tell you, I don't even believe. I think she put that out to the media or her people. I do.
Whatever. I mean, listen, again, and I said that last week, anyone that would touch that with the 10-foot pole, what kind of foundation is there to start on when you're going through divorce and a lawsuit that's ugly like this is? Who wants to start off in a relationship with that as the foundation? No one.
Some guy might fall for her and just be like, I believe that you were wronged by the world.
And I would like to give you $40,000 a month for hair and makeup.
No, that's not going to happen. That's where it's like, I still feel the bitterness when she sits on that couch and she looks around.
Yeah.
I still think that she's like, she wants to be one of them.
But I don't see, I see that's her feeling like a victim. She looks around and she feels like she was wronged. And I'm not saying that Tom was great. I don't know. Maybe he was a real piece of work and didn't treat her right. And, you know, and all these things. And it's like, she's a beat down woman. But I would say we all make a choice. If someone is, you know, emotionally, verbally, physically, whatever it may be, wouldn't you just at one point say, I'm not doing this with you, and you get out? And but she didn't do it because she was staying for the money. And that I do believe. I really, 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 really believe that.
I don't know how else you could look at that. I mean, that is why she was there. Right. Like, that's what I go to too. If it was that bad, and everyone who's listening could say, well, I would stay for the money. You wouldn't. You wouldn't.
I wouldn't. Like, first, I wouldn't.
You think about, there's 24 hours in a day. You take out your 7 hours for sleep.
Yep.
And that's like 17 hours. And then you're like, you wouldn't. It sounds great when you're faced with that and you are literally walking around miserable with the person you're with. You wouldn't. You wouldn't.
And I do it's believe
very
that she knew when she found out that the money was out, that's when she, I think that whole thing, the fact that they don't talk about her filing for divorce and when she filed and the lawsuits and, oh, how crazy. She filed for divorce. A month later, he's being disbarred and sued. Come on.
So you think that's where we differ. You think that she
knew,
threw him to the, no, I think that she didn't know, but then she knew. I think that she maybe didn't know.
So wait, then why did she file for divorce?
Well, I think maybe she knew, but I think it was Tom's plan. I think Tom was like, now it's time to run.
You think he told her get out?
This is what I think. It's not that she didn't know. I can't believe I never told you this before. I think that, like, this is what I think. I think if you are doing something bad and the world is closing in on you, like whatever, like I think the world was closing in on Tom, like say in 2014, he saw it coming, but then it goes away and you're like, And then it's coming back in like 2017. Like, I think when the world is closing in and you think this is it, because like, you know what you're doing, but it doesn't come. You're like, okay. So like, we have a couple more years, like make some more money. But I think when you say to run, it's always too late. Like nobody runs. Like I think the same thing with Jen Shah, which is what's going on in Salt Lake. Like, I think like look, it's no way to live. You're always looking over your shoulder.
Robbing from Peter to pay Paul.
But I think when it's coming and then it goes away, it's like, you're like, okay, so I think maybe that she knew, but I think when it came, when Tom was like, oh no, this is it.
Going down.
I really think he said, we will never speak again. This is really what I think. It's like his last act of like love for her. This is why I don't believe she was in a bad marriage for her. Like, I don't believe all this cheating and this. I really think that being a narcissist and she wanted her time alone, I think it was the perfect marriage for her. I do. And I think when Tom was like, no, this is not a joke. This is like, think about it. If this plan were put into effect like 2 years earlier and she really got a divorce and got all this money and then all this shit came out like 4 years later, I don't know. It might be a different story. Like, would she owe that money back? I don't know if it's a real divorce, and it would be a lot more clouded, right?
But I think that the lawsuits have been going on for a long time, David. I think that they've been he hasn't been paying. I think he hasn't been paying his clients their settlements, and then they settle. And then he borrowed a lot of money from someone, probably to pay off something that he didn't. I don't know. This is just from what I read. You know, there were people that didn't get their money, and then he would borrow and he'd sue them. I think he was literally like, okay, I got to pay this off. I didn't pay these people right away and I blew through their money, and now I've got to give them their settlement, and he didn't have it because he spent it. I don't know. I'm just saying, this is what I think. And so he was just constantly mixing the funds, which is, that'll get you, if from what I understand, disbarred. And then when he didn't have the money coming in from current cases, and there weren't any settlements coming in, and he didn't have anything to pay the ones that were coming due, where the people were like, hey, I want my money, you know, the gig's up. And I think that, I'm not saying I don't know if she knew that, but it's one of those things where if you're spending a ton of money and someone, if my husband was getting sued all the time, I would sit him down and say, babe, I need to know what the hell is going on.
Kind of.
Because when you're a lawyer, I don't think law firms get sued all the time. I think that they do the suing and things get settled. But I don't think that people file against attorneys that much as there's been. I've never heard of that before. And maybe it's just because now I'm looking at it and I'm paying attention to it. But that doesn't seem like something, from all of the attorneys that I know, and I know a good amount of attorneys, I don't know that any one of them have ever been sued.
I would agree with all of that. That I would agree with. Do you think that Tom loved this lifestyle and was like, look at me, I'm insecure? Or do you think it was all for her? Like, I don't care, but I'm going to lose this piece of ass if I don't do this.
I think 100% it was, he loved the lifestyle. He loved walking into a place and having everyone like, oh, it's Tom Girardi, and, you know, the Red Sea parting for him. Yeah, I do think so. I think it's a bit of the Napoleon complex. I do.
I mean, I know a lot of people like that, where they lead with their money and you're like, this is not impressive. This does not impress me.
No.
It's the opposite usually. You don't think it was to keep her, or you think they were just the same and they both loved it?
I mean, if we believe that he was cheating on her, and she says he was cheating on her, you know, obviously something was amiss, that he was going outside of the marriage for something else. So it can't be that he was that in love with her, right? I don't know.
That's the other thing. Like, we talk about contradiction. So she says, look at me, I just found out all this horrible stuff about my husband, which is what she said tonight. Like, how do you think I feel? And then last week she's talking about like panties she finds in the office. So it's like, these are two opposite things, right? Like
tonight she said how much she loved him and like how this was just like, just, she couldn't believe it. How she was shocked when she heard all this.
I think it's all happening so quick. Like even Andy is like, none of them are understanding. Like you need to like step back and listen. There's so many holes in the story.
But when there's holes, you come to the conclusion that you're being fed a bunch of BS, and you pick and choose what rings true and what makes sense.
She just wanted as much money as possible.
And she wants to be famous. She wants, I think this is the psychology of it. She wants to be loved. She wants to be adored. She doesn't have the emotions that she should have gotten as a child from, you know, having that kind of maternal, you know, love from a mother, a father. And yeah, I think that she's a survivor. And I think she just operates on that plane of taking care of herself, and she cannot, and she has made her life based on her looks, what she deems as her talent, you know what I mean? What she can market as a talent. I mean, that is a little shady that I said it that way, I'll own it. But that is her shtick. That's her thing. And it's done.
Well, you know how we like to do it here behind the Velvet Rope with Catherine. Sometimes we just go a little bit long. We're just getting into it. Part two of our roundup of the RHOBH reunion. Part three, more chatting on Erica and everyone else tomorrow. So stay tuned. Thanks for listening to yet another episode of Behind the Velvet Rope. Because without you listeners, I would just be a crazy person with voices in my head. And if you like what you hear, subscribe on Apple Podcasts under Behind the Velvet Rope. And when you're done subscribing, feel free to leave a 5-star write-up review, because the write-up reviews actually count. We read each and every one of them. We post the best ones, and the reviews really help our shows keep going. And we really appreciate everything you guys say, especially the positive ones. And if you want to find us online, we're at Behind Velvet Rope on Instagram. We are at David Yontef on Instagram. We're Behind the Velvet Rope on Apple Podcasts. Or head on over to Patreon, because you know what? There are just some things we can't talk about here. So for our bonus episodes, go to Patreon and type in Behind the Velvet Rope. And if you still aren't sick of me and you want more David, go to Cameo and book me on Cameo. And you can ask me anything there. I'll answer whatever you want. And I have a bargain basement price of $10. Thank you guys. See you soon.